You're listening to Mortgage 101, your guide to homeownership with Clinton Wilkins and myself, Todd Vino.
In this episode, changing terms to qualify for a mortgage that will affect you in the future.
What kind of income do you need to qualify?
When these changes go into effect.
And some quick math you can do at home to determine if you qualify. For those who are just tuning in, we spent the first part of the show talking a lot about the federal budget. So just kind of a couple of minute recap on that. The key point takeaway, the 30-year mortgage for new home buyers was that's the big story, right?
That is big. 30-year AM for first-time home buyers buying a newly constructed home. Big. Also, the home buyer's plan is now expanded from a $35,000 that they could take out as a first-time home buyer to $60,000. And that's per person. So if there's two borrowers, in theory, you could take out $120,000 out of your RRSP.
And you've got how many years to pay that back?
15 years to pay it back. And you have a five-year grace period leading up to that payback period. So it's a great way to make the down payment and closing costs for a first home.
Are all of these effective immediately, or is there a timeline as to
I think April 16th, and then, you know, there's going to be some slow rollout, and I expect some changes, honestly. Yeah. There's going to be some writing. We're going to be back with you next month, the month after, I'm sure, with a few updates, just in terms of, like, what are the mechanics of this? Like, how is it going to work? You know, in practice, what does it mean? Is the insurance premium higher, you know, for the 30-year AM? So we're going to obviously be back with you. It's very early days. The budget was just out yesterday.
Yep.
So very early days. And we're going to obviously be sharing more information, obviously, with our listeners. And we're going to be pumping it out.
What about stress tests? So this is something that a lot of people have heard about. No change.
The stress test. I'm stressed.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, I'm not really stressed. I have a pretty good gig here and I love helping people, but it is stressful. They did come out saying that this was before pre-budget. That the banks are now going to have to limit mortgages to a maximum of 4.5 times a borrower's income. What will that mean? Not really sure yet. Hasn't come into play.
Yeah.
But every lender is going to have a different bucket of how many mortgages they can have that are over this 4.5 times the income.
Explain that, what you mean more. Drill down more into that 4.5 times.
So let's say your income's 100,000, just using that number as a round number. I'm not saying everyone makes 100,000, but that's what we're going to use.
Yep.
It would limit the mortgage to be 450,000.
I see. That's the basic math for the stress test?
And right now, that's not it right now. A stress test, it's 2% above the contract rate, or 5.25, whichever is higher. So right now it's 2% above the contract, okay?
Yeah.
But they're also going to bring in this 4.5 times the income qualifier into play. This is very much how the U.S. operates in terms of their mortgage lending. We operate really on a GS-TDS scale.
Mm-hmm.
Different lenders maybe have a different, you know, scale where they'll let people go up to, but on a high ratio mortgage, everybody plays with the same cards, we'll call it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we're also going to bring in this 4.5 times a number, so I think that's going to be very interesting. And different lenders are going to have a different bucket of how many people can be over this 4.5 times. Right now, it's not that much of a concern, Todd.
Right.
Because the rates are high, people are qualifying on a high rate, but where it will become a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Is let's say the rates go down again to 3%, let's say. And we're qualifying people on 5.25, just for an example.
Mm-hmm.
People might be able to qualify for more than 4.5 times their income, especially if they have very little debt.
Right.
Okay. So it'll be interesting to see stress test versus this 4.5 times number. You know, I think it's stress test 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I do. And it will be interesting to see how that comes into play with qualifying. I don't have the answers yet.
When's this? So this stress test going from, as you mentioned, the percentage over to 4.5 times, that's going into effect when?
That is going into effect later this year,
really?
Maybe October. Okay. Don't hold me to it, but it's not immediate.
So
it's going to take some time for the lenders to roll this out.
Right. So in general, do you feel as though it'll be basically work out to be the same?
In my opinion, same.
Same.
Where it's going to be a problem, though, is when the rates go down, people are not going to qualify for more than they qualify right now.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the challenge is people are like, well, I don't qualify for enough because the rates are high.
Right.
Okay, great. When the rates go down, you're still not going to qualify for any more. Yeah. You're still going to qualify for the same because that 4.5 times qualifier is going to be more limiting
Limiting, yeah.
than what's going on with the stress test.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I think in theory, I'll throw it out there.
Yeah.
Let's say they roll out this 4.5 times and it comes into play. Maybe the stress test goes away.
Mm-hmm. Well, it will. That is the stress test, though, for all intents and purposes, is it not?
It's basically, there's two tests going to go on. And only a certain percentage of mortgages can be over that 4.5 times.
Right.
Let's be real here.
Mm-hmm.
Every bank lender that does conventional mortgage lending does mortgages over normal GDS and TDS ratios.
Right.
Commonly.
Yeah.
We used to think, you know, you can borrow up to 40%, 42, 44% of your income. Now it's 45, 50, 50 plus percent of the income. Many lenders that do conventional mortgages will allow.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you have high net worth. Let's say you have liquid assets of $250,000 or more. I mean, it might seem like a lot of money to some people, and it is.
Yeah.
But let's say that you do have that much liquid. You can qualify for even more.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can qualify for dollar how much you have liquid over what you would normally qualify for if you have money in the bank.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. We hear that kind of number for affordability is like 30, 35% of your income. Is that kind of not the benchmark or the rule of thumb?
I think that's
that
a great number.
Yeah.
I think it's a great number. You will not be eating Kraft dinner, you know, if you're at 30, 35%.
Yep.
I love Kraft dinner personally.
With ketchup or without?
I mean, I don't mind some ketchup on the side. I probably wouldn't mix it in. Maybe with a little ground beef in there. Very delicious.
Mm.
Anyway, we're getting off track here. There's no one wants to buy a home that they cannot furnish and that you're struggling to pay your property taxes, your utilities, all of these things.
Right.
If you can qualify, there's a difference between qualification and affordability. And I think those lines have been blurred over the last couple of years. We have so many borrowers that come in to see me to be like, okay, I need to buy a $600,000 property. I said, okay,
mm-hmm.
Let's work these numbers out. Okay, your payment's going to be $3,000. They're a little bit shocked by the payment. But you can only qualify for like $350,000.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have two cars. You have a trailer. You have a deposit on a new electric vehicle. I'm like, come on, people.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a balance between the toys and wanting to become a homeowner. I think the people that are very, very serious about becoming homeowners are saving their money. They're buying or they own 10-year-old vehicles that still work. Yes, there's some maintenance. Don't get me wrong. I understand. But they're not going to finance toys. They're not buying the boats and the trailers and all these things and getting a loan. That's an old mentality. You know, Canadians are very, very indebted, Todd, and those very, very indebted individuals
mm-hmm.
are going to have a hard time getting mortgage financing, I think, in the future.
Yeah.
That's just going to be the reality of the situation. I think right now cash is king. We're seeing a lot of borrowers that might be able to do, you know, 10 or 15% down payments, maybe not 20%, but 10 or 15 that are choosing to put down 5% because they're like, we need to have these cash reserves just in case. And I do think that's prudent. You know, obviously if you can do 20% down, it's always better. And we hear borrowers' concern because the interest rates are higher with 20% down. In a conventional mortgage, you're going to get a higher interest rate. But it's never cheaper to pay the high ratio insurance. It's never, never cheaper because, you know, that's the first money you're going to pay down is the insurance cost. And yes, you'll get a lower interest rate, but the spread between the interest rate and that insurance cost, you know, it never balances out.
Any idea when you talk about that insurance cost, what do we call it? Are we talking tens of thousands of dollars?
It can be.
It can be, eh?
Yeah, like I had one the other day, the insurance cost was $36,000.
36 G's, wow.
So let's say you're buying a $900,000 property. I mean, there's not that many around here, but, you know, they do happen.
Yeah.
You're going to put down 5% on the first 500 and 10% down on the amount above 500. So let me just do some quick math.
Yeah, do some quick math.
$25,000 on 500 and on 400, it'll be 40. So that'll be $65,000.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go 900 minus 65,000. The high ratio insurance premium on 835, 4%, 33,000 $400.
Just in insurance.
And that is the first monies you're going to pay down, is that high ratio insurance premium.
That's before you start paying down any interest or anything
any
else.
More principal.
Yeah, any principal.
Obviously, you pay principal and interest.
Yeah.
But the first monies you're going to pay down is a high ratio insurance premium, whether it's that's to the Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation, Sagen, or Canada Guarantee. Yeah. So I think that's something to be cognizant of. So when you put down 5%, the insurance premium is 4% of the mortgage amount.
Mm-hmm.
10%. It's 3.1, 15%, it's 2.8. If you can do 20% down, the insurance premium is zero.
So that's interesting, because I didn't realize it was scaled in that way.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so there's a declining scale. So that incentivizes people to go 10% or 15% or whatever it may
be. It does, in theory, but the difference in the insurance cost is really marginal.
I thought
4% to 3.1, 3.1 to 2.8.
Save you some, depending on the size
thousands.
Of the mortgage.
Yeah, still thousands.
Thousands of dollars, yeah.
But sometimes, if it's literally the last dollar you have to make that down payment and closing costs, that last dollar is better in your bank account as a backup.
Yeah. So
especially with buying a home, there's so many other costs that come
right. up. Right. So if at all possible, put your 20% down and avoid that altogether.
If at all possible, put down 20%. And if you don't have 20%, do the 5% down.
Yeah, why? Yeah, exactly.
That's my feedback. Yeah. By and large, to most borrowers.
Yeah.
Not all. This is not for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
For most.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, interesting. Any other, before we kind of talking about the budget again, anything else that people should know about, changes that people need to be caught? Is there a good central place where people can go to check out all of these rule changes? You must have this on your website or whatever.
We have it all over our social media. We're doing a blog post and an email. We actually emailed all our clients that are in a pre-approval right now to let them know, to be like, hey, 30-year amortizations are coming.
You sound like a captain on a plane.
I mean, it's important for people to understand, especially if you did a pre-approval with someone 3-4 months ago.
Yeah.
A lot's changed in 3 or 4 months.
A lot has changed.
Not only the rates, but like the federal government, the policy swing one way or the other. I can say prior to these changes, things had only gotten tighter over the last 10 years.
Yep. There you go.
And, when I was on City News just not that long ago, they asked me if I supported these changes.
Yep.
I support what's good for first-time home buyers, and I support housing.
If you've liked what you've heard and you want to learn more, feel free to visit us online at teamclinton.ca.